Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast. This is show number 6. We're here at Henry Addington's in Canary Wharf, and I'm feeling very uneasy because there's something happening that I know nothing about. My name's Simon Head, I'm a Gillingham fan. Alongside me is Simon Pitney.
Hello.
He supports Everton. Alongside him is Stuart Hoare.
Good afternoon.
He's looking very guilty, he's a QPR fan. And alongside him is Mr. Daniel Ferdinand.
Hello.
And he supports Arsenal. Jim Staples is in the toilet. I have no idea what he's doing in there. He's up to no good. I'm sure he's going to come in dressed as some sort of superhero or something. But bloody hell, he has as well. He's come in
dressed as Banana Man.
He's come in dressed as Banana Man.
Well, fellas, thanks for the drinks. I've come as Banana Man. I just had a banana and I've turned into banana.
We're in a very, very empty pub on a Tuesday, and he's just turned up just as Banana Man. Bonkers. Anyway, right, let's kick
did you
off.
Say bonkers again.
I did say bonkers.
Can we change that to bananas, please?
All right, that's bananas. All right, we'll kick off with a question. We'll start with Banana Man. Banana Man, what are your top three favourite goals of all time? Are there any banana shots in there?
No, that was a terrible joke. Okay, number three for me is probably quite an obvious one. Beckham versus Argentina, the penalty in 0-2.
Just for the context of it all?
Yeah, just for the context and the fact it was stupid o'clock in the morning, and it meant so much, that win. Good celebration as well. Number two is a bit of a curveball.
I can't take you seriously.
Hello, mate. No, I didn't want to, I'm afraid. Number two for me is Roberto Carlos in the tournoi.
The free kick.
Which for me, at the age of about 15, which I was at the time, that free kick was absolutely amazing. And I like the fact that the ball boy ducked out the way a little bit.
Yeah, and he was a good 5 yards wide
exactly,
of the goal.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And that for me, I liked football at the time, but that really got to me. That really captivated me and sort of got me involved and stuff like that. And it was a year before the World Cup. I think it was
England won that tournament.
They did indeed. Yeah. Okay. Number one, probably won't go on anyone's list either. Tony Yeboah.
Yeah.
At Selhurst Park for Leeds United, probably about mid-90s.
Yeah.
96, 97. I don't know whether they're playing Wimbledon or Crystal Palace.
Yeah, it was Wimbledon.
Where he juggles it on his thighs for about
sort of bundles his way past
it, and it hits the bar. Bar down in.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And the reason I love it so much is because I've spent so much time since then trying to recreate the Yeboah incident in the common room, in the playground, on the football pitch, just trying to recreate the Yeboah bar and in. As soon as Lampard hit the bar in the World Cup, Yeboah straight away.
Yeah.
Love that, man.
Bar and Dan's instantly make a goal look better.
Definitely. I'll sort of jump in and do mine, because my number three is also Tony Yeboah, but it's a different goal, but it also hits the crossbar, also bounces down and also goes in. It's Tony Yeboah for Leeds against Liverpool in the Premier League. It was a Monday night game, live on Sky. I think Dorigo pinged one forward. He got nodded back by Chapman or someone.
Yeah.
And Yeboah just absolutely pasted
it.
Absolutely pasted it. David James wasted his time diving for it. Unbelievable goal. One of my favourite Premier League goal ever. My second goal, I expect Jim was in the ground to see this one, because I was. Nicky Southall on the volley, Gillingham versus Sheffield Wednesday, FA Cup. That goal effectively knocked Sheffield Wednesday, who were then in the Premier League, out of the FA Cup. Absolutely brilliant, brilliant goal. Throw in on the touchline, threw it to Southall, he chested it down. He's about 30 yards out on the angle, and he just smashed it on the volley, top corner. Unbelievable goal. And my number one favourite goal, I could have listed any number of Brazilian goals, but I've left those out. Alan Shearer, Euro 96, England v Holland, where Gazza broke through, passed it to Sheringham. He made as if he was going to shoot, laid it off to Shearer. Larrupped it in the top corner.
Holland.
At that moment, we were the best football team in the world. But that was my favourite goal. Dan, what about you, mate? Top three goals.
None have been said yet. I've got Dennis Bergkamp against Newcastle when he skinned Albert.
Oh, where he knocks it one way and he went around the other.
Meant that all the way. Dennis Bergkamp. Zinedine Zidane, his volley in the 2002 Cup Champions League final.
Leverkusen.
It was in the air for ages, wasn't it? And George Weah against Verona, where he basically took it from their corner and ran the length of the field after trying to get hacked down halfway and then slotted on in Menzka.
Poor man's Tony Yeboah, George Weah.
Tony Yeboah.
I think his cousin was at Southampton.
He was kind of a big deal, but speaking of that, Stuart Hoare.
My first one, Trevor Sinclair overhead kick against Barnsley in the FA
Cup. QPR goal, what a surprise.
Yeah, bloody brilliant. It was a good overhead kick.
It was quite good though, wasn't it?
He tried it the game after and he hit the bar.
Really?
Yeah. And then Zinedine Zidane, Real Madrid, Leverkusen.
Yeah.
And then Van Basten, where he's from the silly angle.
Yeah.
Just pings it. Very good ball. And then
European final, 88, that was against Russia.
USSR, yeah. 88, wasn't it?
88, yeah.
Where I was born.
Blimey, that makes me feel old.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry.
Right, my third goal was one that Dan's already said, Dennis Bergkamp versus Newcastle. Yeah. If only because Jim said didn't mean it. Dennis Bergkamp's never miscontrolled a pass ever. So of course he meant it. He knew what he was doing. My second favourite goal is just because it's the moment where football becomes football and you realise how much it means to you, was when Gary Lineker equalised against Germany in the 1990 World Cup semi-final. Just the outpouring, you know, how unlucky we were, Paul Parker's deflected goal, us being the better team and not winning. So Lineker's goal, and my favourite goal, 1994, Everton are 2-0 down to Wimbledon. We're getting relegated.
Yeah.
We get it back to 2-0, we're still getting relegated.
Barry Horn.
Barry Horn was the second one. Thunder Thighs himself, Tony Cotty, prodded a ball across the box. And Graham Stewart, who'd already scored, scuffed a shot. Like, scuffed it. It was a real daisy cutter. Thanks, Jim. And Hans Seggers couldn't quite dive there in time, and we managed to stay up 3-2.
All right.
I danced around the living room for a long time.
Good stuff.
We've all picked at least one goal from our own team.
You'd expect that.
And
that's
also, fair enough. And also,
well, actually, Jim hasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, no, man.
Jim didn't pick a Jim.
There's one goal we didn't talk about. Rooney's volley against Newcastle.
Newcastle. Best one.
The one where he's swearing at the ref. Like, yeah. Screw you, ref, screw you.
Now, Mike Shaw, the goal that I thought one of us would pick and I deliberately left off was probably for me the best goal of all time, which was the Brazil fourth goal, 1970 World Cup final, where they basically just took the
You
piss.
Were there, weren't you?
I wasn't there, sadly. I wish I was, mate. But, I mean, that was just unbelievable, that goal. What we'll do, we'll gather together all the YouTube clips that we can find of these. We'll bung them up on the podcast website, www.footballpubcast.co.uk. Newly redesigned, by the way, check that out. And we'll put those up on the site. Right, looking at the week we've just had, it's been a bit of a mixed week for our teams.
It's been bananas.
It's been bananas. Right, Morecambe 1, Gillingham 1. You didn't go to that, did you, Jim? I didn't go.
No, I didn't go.
It sounded like it was a good performance, though. It created lots of chances and missed a really good chance in the last minute to win.
Point away from home as well, got to take that.
Yeah, and Dan will be delighted with our equaliser because it was headed in at the back stick. So, you know.
Arsenal scored. Arsenal should have been at the back stick.
There you go. So yeah, we drew 1-1.
That was my fear, Walcott, by the way, as well. What a finish.
It was good. Move on to that, Dan. What, like, tough old game against Blackburn. Blackburn have done you a few times in the past.
Yeah. It's not always Blackburn. It's Sam Allardyce and then Mark Hughes before him.
Yeah.
And so it's a bit of a bogey team. I think Wenger said after the game that it was important that we win these type of games, and we did. I think really the most important thing is Theo Walcott scored again. It's another goal which uses pace to get into position and his finishing ability, and I'm really glad to see it. I don't really worry as an Arsenal supporter what happened with England. I'm loving his form at the moment for Arsenal. If he can take it to England, all the better, but as far as I'm concerned, keep this going, Theo, because you're looking absolute mustard at the moment.
He's doing all right, isn't he?
So where's he playing in then?
He's playing in wide right, but he's playing in a lot, isn't he? What he's doing that he didn't do last year is he's doing both. He's cutting in and he's going on the outside.
Mm. In all summer to practice, didn't
he? So I think he could adopt that. With Rooney up top, Theo Walcott one side and maybe Johnson.
Well, that is what they did in the first half. I thought Theo looked really good.
Theo sorry, good, but the team, I don't think the team is sorry.
No. We'll move on to England in a bit because obviously they're actually going to be our featured game of the week. So I don't want to bring this up too much, Si, but it was like the Alamo at Villa Park. Everton battering Aston Villa for it's 90 just, minutes and losing 1-0. What is going on there?
It's just boring. It's officially now our worst start in a decade of poor starts.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you said it yourself, we absolutely battered Villa, we played well.
Yeah.
But guess what? We still can't score. And I know Jim's particularly interested in the Jermaine Bedford update because we need to give him a chance. Played 55 minutes, crap, hauled off.
Why did they give him only 55 minutes? Give him longer, he would have scored.
No, well, I don't think he would.
There is something else I need to ask you about very, very quickly because we have to move on to Stu, who's got a bit of a tale to tell, I think, about his game. David Moyes.
No. We're not even talking. I've banned Stuart from talking about
David. He's the bookie's favourite to join Aston Villa today.
No, it's not anymore.
McDonald's is now favourite.
Listen.
As I left the office.
That can't happen. One, and it does. Everton might as well just go, do you know what? We're not interested in playing football anymore. We're just going to get relegated.
Okay.
He is more important than anyone else we've got.
I watched the final 20 minutes of that game and I can't remember another one side, such a one-sided game.
Yeah, all right.
But 1 point. Is it who's the right winger for Villa? all Brighton.
Yeah,
young
yeah.
lad, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he looked good on the opening day as well.
Can't
yeah.
work out if he's English or not, but he looks,
he is, I think. Yeah.
Thank God for that. He looks mustard.
Yeah,
he's come through the youth system because McDonald's now the manager of Villa. He's chucked a few of the the reserves in.
He played that Clark the other.
But Albright looks a bit of a prospect, doesn't he? He looks quite handy. Right, Stu, unbeaten or 100% record going into the weekend. You said you wouldn't keep a clean sheet. You didn't. 2-0 down, 90 minutes on the clock. Tell us what happens.
Dunkirk spirit, according to Warnock. Dunkirk spirit. Adjaman scored, Dave.
Ex-Jules.
Yep. 92nd minute. To be fair, it was a good finish. He didn't really have to do much. The ball was pretty much there, and he larruped it past the keeper. Mackey had a lot of work to do. Edge of the box, took it around maybe two or three. Jamie Mackey, side.
That's a brilliant
5th minute.
It was a very good goal, actually.
Yeah.
But he did a business on Mackey.
Fantastic comeback.
That's brilliant.
Three for Mackey now.
He's still top,
one in five
yeah.
player. Top on goal difference with joint top with Cardiff.
That's the backstory to that is that Stu and Simon have had a big argument when Mackey first signed for QPR, and Stu's basically reaping the rewards of defending his new signing.
Hang on a minute,
because he was expert.
He played what? How many games?
Four.
Three.
How many goals has he got? Andy Backstick Carroll.
Did you find he scored again?
He did all right, didn't he?
So that's four. That's four in two games. It was a big goal in a game which was basically violence. The UFC was also on this weekend, and I think it was a little bit worse than that. Henry on Barton was
Joey Barton got munched about seven times, most of the time by Carl Henry. He didn't react though, did he? He would have reacted like 18 months ago. He would have kicked off and chinned someone, but he didn't. To be
fair, Joey Barton fan, but I think he behaved himself quite admirably. You get a lot of people get kicked, ones going mad, start. As we've all said, I think he actually quite enjoyed himself.
It's true. As a human being, questionable, but as a footballer, I think a lot of people, like I said to my dad, and my dad said to me as well.
Fair play to him.
He went up in my estimation as a player. For what he did at the weekend.
And he had a little word with McCarthy on the way off, but it wasn't too heated, was it? It was kind of like, that's what you want to see, a little bit of banter on the pitch.
Like that and a bit more aggressive, because it's happening, it's going around the game, isn't it?
And both managers came out after the game and they were asked about it, and they both, to be fair, come out and said, that's what you want to see on a football pitch, people getting stuck in and no one making a fuss.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just on a bit of a side note, Matty Jarvis, Wolves winger, former Gillingham player, absolute stone bonker penalty he should have had in that game. Absolutely stonewall.
He had overrun the ball though.
He got absolutely cleaned out. And he was in Fabio Capello's 30-man provisional squad. He didn't make the cut in the end, but
was he?
Yes.
Was he really?
Yes, he was, yeah. He was in
he's playing week in, week out, left wing, and he's English. He's getting 7 and 8 out of 10 most
He's doing weeks, well so. Most weeks. I think if he was to move, there's an argument if he was to move to a bigger club he'd have a better chance, but I don't think he'd get in if he moved up too far.
So just
keep playing and doing well, it'd be nice to see him get a chance. We might earn a few quid out.
I'm pretty
sure
in his Gillingham days he didn't imagine he'd be in the 30-man provisional squad for England. He should sit where he is and be happy.
It's a bit of a leap, I'll give you. But he's doing well to the lad. He's a really nice guy, and I wish him all the best. He's a good lad. Right, we'll kick on, and rather than leaving it till towards the end, we'll move on to the second teams now. Dan, this is the first show you've been here where you've actually...
Please tell me Barkingside at least had a game.
Where they did. Right, tell us about Barkingside, because you've adopted them, and we haven't really spoken about it on the show before, so...
Oh, we spoke about it a little bit. Yeah, we did.
We sort of touched on it. We touched on it, didn't we?
Yeah, Barkingside's my local team. It's right next to Barkingside Station on the Central Line in London.
Tickets are a fiver.
Yeah, tickets are about fiver. They're really good. We was the pub club's actually in their programme a couple of weeks ago. This week they played on Monday, not Bank Holiday Monday, Monday before, and they lost 3-2 to Stansted in the cup.
Highlights of which are on the website.
Ah, there
we
you
have
go.
Video highlights of that on the website, so check it out.
And the game before that was a league game which they drew 2-2. It's not been a great start to the season, but I'm hoping to get down there for their next league home game in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And G the boys up. I reckon I could be the mascot to get them on a winning road.
Well, I think
if not centre back.
Arguably it's the easiest game for us to get to, so we should definitely get in touch with them and get ourselves down there.
Oh yeah, we'd be invited massively.
That'd be a good one. Alright, okay.
It's got a lovely bar as well. Sorry,
I've seen the picture. It was rather. It's kind of like the Phoenix Club.
Yeah, if you go on, if
it
you go on
the like Phoenix Club for Phoenix Nights. Yeah.
If you go on the Max, there.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You find out.
I'll kick on and talk about Peterhead. We're still waiting for our first win of the season.
Oh,
just like Gillingham, I think I'm the only one of the people here whose team, either the first team or the second team, hasn't won a game yet. So I'm kind of playing catch up a little bit.
I'm not much further ahead of you, to be perfectly fair.
Yeah. But at least Osijek have done the business once.
Yeah.
Peterhead, it was there from. They went 1-0 up after 11 minutes. Paul Emsley, a new signing they got in the summer, scored, decent goal by all accounts, but then with about 12 minutes to go, he got sent off. So the last 12 minutes was a little bit tricky. They had to defend like Trojans for the last 12 minutes with 10 men against Ayr United. And unfortunately, in stoppage time, Neil McVitie, who is known to his teammates as Biscuits, he was judged to have handled the ball inside the box. The penalty was awarded, and Ayr substitute Mark Roberts walked up, larruped it in the back of the net, finished 1-1. So Peterhead are currently sitting in ninth position, which is second bottom of Scottish Division 2. They're in that little playoff place. So they do a playoff, don't they? So
yeah,
I like
they're there.
That idea.
They've played where they basically played a playoff guy from the division below,
below,
right?
Yeah.
So they're currently sat there. They've got just 1 point. Now there's a little bit of respite for them next week. They've got Stenhouse Muir in the quarterfinals of the Alba Challenge Cup. They've actually gone well in the cups already. Peterhead, they've had some good success in the cups.
Quarterfinal, don't fair away.
They're in the quarterfinal. I think they played two games to get to the quarterfinal, to be honest. But
still a bit early.
But they're at the quarterfinal stage. Let's not knock it. They're there. Unless like Neil Cooper can get the boys playing, Stenhouse Muir beat them earlier in the season in the league, so it'd be nice opportunity to get a bit of revenge, get in the semis, and hopefully that'll really give the team a lift. Sounds like they played quite well on Saturday. They just need that bit of luck to fall for them. If it wasn't for that sending off, or you know the last minute pen, you know we'd be celebrating a win and they'd be off and running. They've got some good players up at Peterhead. You know they should be higher up than they are. So it's just a waiting game now. Let's just see how they get on. But yeah, Stenhouse Muir in the quarterfinals of the cup. That's next Sunday. Good luck to the blue team. Stu, how are the Super Farmers? Top of the league 2 weeks ago, got absolutely pasted by PSV, which is fair enough.
Yeah, then they lost to Groningen.
And they lost to Groningen. That was a tighter game. How did they get on this weekend?
They got whacked 5 this weekend.
Oh no. They got done 5-0.
At home to Ajax.
Oh, right, Ajax, okay. I think we need to put it in perspective. It's Ajax, isn't it?
So. Luis Suarez helped himself to a hat-trick as well. Apparently he wasn't very challenged throughout the game.
Right.
Next up, they've got Den Haag, who drew with PSV.
Home of Raymond van Barneveld, for any darts fans out there. Yeah.
So they drew with PSV at the weekend. And obviously that team have already beaten the Grasshoppers 6-0, so I'm not looking forward to the game on Sunday, to be honest.
It's going to be a tricky one.
Could be another whacking.
We have to keep an eye out on ESPN, because they're showing the Dutch League live on ESPN this year. So if we find a weekend when if we find a weekend when the Grasshat are on, we should get ourselves down a pub and watch it, or go down a sports.
We'll see a few goals.
Go down a sports cafe or something. Yeah, I reckon that'd be decent.
We'll definitely see some goals.
All right, Hastings United, Jim, you've got some info for us, mate.
Yeah, well, quite a lot to catch up on. I'll go for it quickly. Last Tuesday, so week today, they beat Maidstone United away from home 4-2. Addy Ulunda got two.
Yeah,
go on.
Kenny Pope started on the bench again. Came off and scored, so 2-2 for him off the bench.
He's like Solskjaer, isn't he? He's like non-league Solskjaer.
We'll get on to that in a minute, because he's the subject of Mike Uriah.
Okay.
Should we go straight on to that? Should we do Kenny Pogue quickly?
Yeah, let's do it, mate. Go on.
Alright, Kenny Pogue, Uriah for this week. He's only just joined them. He played last season for their Sidley United, who are in Sussex County Division 2, so that's one below Barkingside. As my contact pointed out. So he played for them last season, scored a load of goals and got promoted. He was with Hastings as a 16-year-old, so they got him back on trial. And obviously, you know about his exploits pre-season, 7 goals in
left, right,
games.
And centre, yeah.
So that got him a place in the squad. Now, obviously, a couple of times I've mentioned we were sort of like, hey, we scored that many in pre-season, why the hell is he not in the team?
Yeah.
And now he's come on a sub first couple of games and got goals. Spoke to someone at the club, basically they were saying that they just think he's a little too raw to be frustrating to the rival Premier. So starting on the bench, bring him through.
Easy to bring gradually.
Yeah, and then they've got Sam Adams and Addy Ulunda up front anyway, who are quite a formidable partnership in that league. So he'll get his chance with injuries and whatever. So last Tuesday they won 4-2. On the Saturday, Kenny Pogue actually got into the starting lineup, and they drew a blank. They drew 0-0.
Get him on the bench, bring him off the bench.
They played Hendon, so it was Hendon 0, Hastings United 0, but they stayed top of the league after that game. The only thing of note really that I can see is that in the 84th minute, Hendon brought on Danny Dyer. It was a naughty little out.
Proper naughty.
And in the 89th minute, he had a proper naughty little free kick which just hit the bar, and then he had to scramble before the boys took over. And then yesterday they played again, so they've been proper busy since we last proper busy. I've got the fight,
Danny.
Yeah, sorry. They drew rather disappointingly, because after that game Hastings were top. They were playing Cray Wanderers yesterday, bottom, pointless and bottom, and they drew 1-1. So slightly disappointing. Good attendance though, 574, another good attendance.
Sam Adams scored a penalty. It was a bit controversial. It was a retaken penalty.
Right.
So they missed it, got retaken.
It was encroachment or something.
Yeah, yeah, encroachment by the goalkeeper. So Anthony Story missed it. Sam Adams then took it and scored it, which got him in the 84th.
That's interesting. I didn't think you could do that. I thought if you had to retake the penalty, the same guy took the first one and had to take the second one.
Apparently not. No, Sam Adams stuck it away. Uh-huh. Leaves him fifth in the league, which is not bad going. It's not a bad start.
Yeah, yeah.
And also the Cray Wanderers assistant manager and manager were both sent off after the penalty.
Were, isn't it?
Yeah. So they kicked off a little bit. Right. Next game is on Saturday, which is the 4th. And it is also National Non-League Day.
It is National Non-League Day.
Which I think, as a podcast, we should get behind slightly.
Without a doubt, yeah.
So
we should be all
go
over
on
that.
To www.nonleagueday.co.uk. Basically, to give you a bit of background, so you don't really know much about it at the moment, a guy called James Doe, who's a Harrowborough fan, started it as pretty much like us. Started as a social networking thing. Started as a social networking group, and it's grown and grown, and now the BBC have got involved. There's a few papers involved. Basically, the premise is internationals on, so there's no Premier League, no Championship. Get down to your local non-league club. That's so if you go on the website, nonleagueday.co.uk, you can actually go there and find out where all the teams are playing, see where your local side's playing, who they've got, either at home, and get down there.
The non-league football is a great laugh.
Oh, absolutely.
To. Especially if you can get a group up.
Yeah.
And go down there. It is good fun. Like I used to go watch Ebbsfleet quite a lot when they were non-league, or when they were Gravesend and North League. A friend of mine used to play for them.
It's good time as well, because obviously with the international break they're going to get a load more coverage.
Exactly. So yeah. It's a really good idea.
So we at the podcast are well behind that. Obviously we'll do our updates next week from all the games and Hastings. Yeah, proper behind it. Naughty little outfit.
I think we found one of our words for the
title. Naughty little day.
Hastings away.
Hastings away and
Aveley in Essex. So if you're around near Aveley or you're a Hastings fan, you're going to make the trip.
Fantastic.
Good on you.
And we are paying them a visit. We may have secured ourselves a date we can all make.
We have indeed, yeah. We'll update on that. I'll email the club. Email the club this morning to make sure the date's all right. So we'll keep you up to date on that.
Great stuff.
But, hey, so fifth in the league, not doing too bad at all.
That's all right. It's that early in the year. One win will bump you up.
Absolutely. Load of places really quick. So. I think they're 2 points off top at the moment. So.
Superb. All right, moving east to the most eastern part of Croatia, Osijek.
Well,
you're looking a bit solemn. What's
their old ways. Last week, you know, they played the team and they won for the last minute. Last minute winner.
Yeah.
Well, this week they won it up. Everything's looking great for the second one in a row, and then they conceded kind of a last minute equaliser as well. Problem being is the team they were playing is absolutely pony.
Right.
So it's kind of a missed opportunity. Kind of like.
What's their name? Their name's not Absolute Pony.
No, Hrvatska.
That's a good name for a team.
It's Hrvatska something. No, it's kind of like you saying Hastings. It's a bit of a missed opportunity, really, because they really could have done with a couple more points. But that's now four draws, out of six matches. And they have bumped themselves up a place. They're now 10th, which is, you know, kind of great.
Just off relegation.
They're still a goal scorer, don't they? Because they're not losing games, are they?
No, but they lost their opening game since
Kenny Pogue's not getting a starting place.
Loan deal.
They've got a two-week period now. 2 week period off, and then they play Sevilla. Now the new coach, that Branko Karadžić with his deadly free kick, he used to be the manager of Sevilla, so it's a bit of a
bit of a homecoming.
No, I've said Sevilla, it's not, it's Šibenik.
Okay.
So that's completely wrong information. Šibenik, again, is his former team, but it's his first home game at the Gradski Stadium, so it should be a bit of an occasion, and hopefully in those 2 weeks he can impart some of his philosophies and some of his tactics, and they can actually start winning as opposed to drawing every week.
Well, best of luck to us here. We need to see our team start winning. We're all behind all the teams here on the podcast, so let's have them all winning the game. Right, we'll move on. We've got a new feature. Obviously we went through our transfer targets for Premier League teams a while back. Transfer window closes today, and what we'll do probably tomorrow, a few of us will have a 5 minute sit down and record a bit of a review of the transfer window, just to see who went where and who's spent stupid money on stupid people. But we needed something to replace the detailed in-depth analysis of the transfer market, so we've gone for who's going to be in a bald 11 instead. I'm not
right,
at all.
Skipper has got to be Julian Dix.
Do you know, he isn't even on my list.
Or if someone can name you a better skipper, alternative for a skipper, Julian Dix.
Well, what we'll do, we'll start a goalkeeper, we'll all give a thing, and we'll decide who we're going to have in this team.
Bartes.
I've gone Bartes.
Dan?
I've got Brad Friedel.
Right, it's four Barteses.
So we're going Bartes. Bartes is a goalkeeper. Right back. Who's your right back, Dan?
Danny Mills.
He's bald. I'm giving that bald. He's so good, baldy.
Bald and he's psycho. I like it.
Stu?
Well, Steve Bold.
Right back? You're playing him out of position?
I want to play him out of position because the centre backs are better. Steve Bold.
Jim, right back.
Danny Mills.
You're for Millsy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd moved Alan Wright, the former Villa left back, over to right back, because I couldn't think of a right back.
Okay, he might get in a future 11 that I've got in mind. Okay.
Oh, you're missing an outstanding left back.
We're talking right back at the moment, though.
Yeah, but he said he couldn't find a left back. Paul Conchessa.
No, I couldn't find a right back.
Yeah, he's on my list. My right back is a current player, Maicon. Big shiny head. He's a good player as well.
Massive shiny head.
He has got a big shiny head.
I didn't realise he was going for world class players.
I've got
to revisit the whole team.
So what do we think? I think Danny Mills, yeah?
Danny Mills.
Are you keeping a note of all this?
Yeah, I'm
good lad. Right, okay. We'll do the two centre backs. We'll work right.
Julian Dix, please.
Julian Dix, you've gone for.
Centre back.
Yeah.
Who are your two? You've got Julian Dix and who else?
Frank LeBeuf.
Frank LeBeuf. Right, I've gone for Guy Branston and Yap Stam.
Skirtle.
What's the matter with you?
Guy Branston.
He's the one who Jeff Stelling says he's always getting himself in a pickle, right? Yeah. He's hard as nails as well. He played against us last year for Burton.
Was he in our food 11 a couple of weeks back?
Branston. He should have been. If he wasn't, he needed to be. Guy Branston. He goes into his tackles with a lot of relish.
We're not having Guy Branston. We're not having Guy Branston.
Okay, who have we got then?
Me and Stu have got the same.
Go on then, who have we got?
I've got Frank LeBeuf.
LeBeuf, okay.
Yeah, Stam.
So that's three for Stan.
Can we have Yap Stam and Julian Dix?
Well, I had Frank LeBeuf, so it's not one for him, and Steve Ball in his position.
So do we want Dixie in?
Well, I think LeBeuf.
I think we need a Terminator in the team, don't
LeBeuf.
We?
LeBeuf.
Arguably, he could be a left back, because he's a left back.
True.
So who we got left back? I've gone for Konchesky.
I don't like Konchesky, I don't like his eyes.
Roberto Carlos.
That's a good shout.
I've got Roberto Carlos.
That's a good shout.
I went for Michael Frontsec, who used to play for Man City years ago.
You got Wikipedia out,
hasn't it? No. I remember him because he handled the ball against in the Manchester Cup game.
Okay, it's a toss up then. Do we go for Julian Dix
at left back?
Julian Dix or Roberto Carlos?
Dix at left back.
Julian Dix. But the better technique.
Dix is in. Left back.
Who's our other centre back?
Well, we've got
Branston and LeBeuf.
What about Stam?
Yeah. Stam's got
Stam
to be in.
More
Stam and LeBeuf.
Stam and LeBeuf.
Right, okay.
Some people have heard of Yap Stam.
Yeah.
Oi, don't knock the Branston.
Go on in, what we got next, sir?
Right midfield player. I've gone for Jordan Lechkov, Bulgarian guy, diving head and knocked out the Germans.
Yeah.
He also now stands in Parliament, and true story, whenever he gets into an argument in Parliament, he says, did you knock the Germans out of the World Cup? No, well, you lose then. That's
Fair
his
enough.
Argument point. I think that gets him in the team, if you ask me. I think he's brilliant. Who have we gone for? Stu?
Well, I'm struggling. Shaved
head.
No, I've gone for Becker on the right.
But he's not bald.
He shaved his head.
Yeah, but I could shave mine. That doesn't make me bald. It just makes me.
Okay, central answer. I've got Attilio Lombardo.
That's not a bad shape.
He's a left winger.
He's a left winger. He plays
great.
All right.
I've got Lombardo.
We might have to pull these together and pick.
I've got my favourite player of all time. Tamari Kitspire.
Yes, I've gone for Kitspire.
I've got him as a striker.
Yeah, I've got him as one of my strikers.
All right, okay. Let's bung him as a midfielder then.
What about Ray Wilkins? He can play on the wing.
Oh, that's a good shout. Was he bald at his pomp?
No,
he wasn't, was he?
Yeah, he was.
He was at Milan.
He was going.
He was at Milan.
Milan. Yeah.
Wilkins.
Look at him. He's bald at QPR. He's pomp. Not like a bloody QPR.
When he was at AC Milan, as opposed to when he was at QPR.
Is really? Not the thought he actually
all
thought.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but he's pomp.
Why don't we just go for our midfield? We'll pick the best four out of all right, we've got.
I've got Ray Wilkins. I've got Nobby Styles as well.
Styles wasn't bald.
He was going bloody bald. He had a comb over. He's in the team.
I've gone for Lechkov, Bobby Charlton, Esteban Cambiaso, and Zinedine Zidane.
Yeah, Zidane, mate.
The king of the ball midfield okay. players.
Thomas Gravesen.
Yeah.
Stig Tofting.
Good. Lee Carsley?
No, didn't put Carsley in. Don't like him.
Sorry.
I had Johnny Metgod.
Johnny Metgod, yeah.
Gregor Salato.
I was going to pick him. I thought no one would know.
Then I had Gravesen and Lombardo, as you know.
Right, Conspire. In central midfield, I've just gone for playmakers. Paul Gascoigne and Alfredo Stefano.
Legend, Di Stefano.
Hang on.
Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah. Have you not? Gascoigne's mental. His hair's like something
weird.
Yeah,
no, he's mental now.
It's Zinedine Zidane.
Right, okay. So from that, we've got Zidane. He's definitely in.
We could do a balding 11 as well as a bald 11.
Yeah, like balding receding 11. Balls. So we got Zidane's in. We've got, I think, Gravesen. We look up for Gravesen, didn't we?
Lombardo makes it,
Lombardo
gets
in.
And Ray Wilkins.
That's our four. Alright, up front, I've gone for Tamuri Kitspire, but.
Yeah.
Oh, Kitspire needs to be in that midfield then, doesn't he?
No,
he alright, Tamuri Kitspire has to be in that team.
Playmaker,
right? I've got and front. Alongside him, Ify Onyura, the shiniest head ever to don the famous blue and black.
Dan. I've got my number 9. I've got Gianluca Viola.
Yes. Oh, that's Viola. A shout and a half.
And my number 10. I've got Sir Bobby Charlton.
I think.
Have we not got Bobby Charlton in the midfield?
Well, I put him up front.
Centre forward.
Yeah, I put him up front.
Dan's nailed that with
those two.
No, not those two. Just Viola. Viola's in.
Bobby Charlton's got to be in this team. Surely.
Bobby Charlton tomorrow. Kit Spire. World Cup winner or went mental when he scored at Newcastle. Kit Spire, get him in.
No, get Bobby Charlton in the midfield. Who's in the midfield?
It's Dan, Braverson, Lombardo, and Wilkins. Get Charlton instead of Wilkins.
We are forgetting Paul Shaw as well, but I'll let that go.
Oh yeah, good point.
Paul Shaw. Yeah, he was Arsenal.
Yeah. He's got no. We don't care.
Well, he's going to be on the bench. He's going to be on the
subs. Oh, that's a team pick.
We'll have subs. Right. So the team side. Can you just run us through the first 11, mate?
Fabian Barthez.
Yeah.
Danny Mills.
Yeah.
Frank Leboeuf. Yap Stam. Julian Dix. Zinedine Zidane. Thomas Gravesen. Attilio Lombardo. Bobby Charlton.
That's got some balance in it, then.
Gianluca Vialli. And Tamuri Ketchbayar.
Yeah. Jim Smith, manager.
I think Ketchbayar's looking
at manager.
Team.
I've gone for Neil Cooper, who's manager of podcast Peterhead. Very bold. What about Christian Gross? He's another one. But you wouldn't want him managing the team, would you?
Martin Yarl.
Is he properly bald, though?
Yeah. Martin Yarl.
He'd be the hardest.
Jim Smith's nickname is the Bald Eagle.
Yeah.
I think he should be our manager.
Oh, of course. I didn't think of that. I'm changing my mind to that, yeah.
Jim Smith.
Any
advance on Jim Smith?
See, I wanted to offer it to a new manager. He's hasn't managed a club before. Pierluigi Collina.
What's giving him a job?
I'd like to offer it to
him. At least he's known the rules.
All these managers, many of them have got no hair. You've just cast them all.
Stuart Carlos Valderrama in the midfield.
He's got big hair, that kid.
Really? Tony Daly on the wing. He's got big hair.
Do you know who we should have had in goal? Borislav Mihailov.
Yeah, I thought of him.
With a hairpiece.
I want to read something that I came across.
All right.
I've got hair on my mouth. About Anders Lindblad.
That's kind of ironic.
Right? I read this.
Right. Anders Lindblad, apparently, because you seem to be talking about a bald 11.
Yeah.
Apparently, he shaved his testicles to be more aerodynamic.
Yep.
And the following on quote from it is, apparently, his wife was a dirty Swedish filth bag.
Was that a quote?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that from?
Don't know. You shaved his testicles and you're married to a dirty Swedish filth bag. Well, Anders Lindblad.
It's that part of the show that everyone's looking forward to. It's time for Stu's news. Stu, have you got any news?
I don't have any emails from anyone, though. No emails yet. People should start emailing us at banter@footballpodcast.co.uk.
That's very true.
This week, I've gone for... it's a story for Cholton Villa's game against... Cholton Villa will play him. International Manchester.
These are made up names.
Cholton Villa. You just merged two football teams.
No, Cholton Villa. This is the name of them. They're a team in Stretford, Manchester.
Yeah.
And Cholton Villa's one of Cholton Villa's players was given a yellow card for breaking wind as a spot kick was taken. The penalty was saved and ordered to be retaken because the noise of the fart put the kicker off. Apparently.
Fair enough.
In the midst of all this, Villa got two players then sent off. The goalkeeper for swearing at the ref. This is a quote from the ref, actually. It's the swearing that's the problem. The player who made the noise was booked for ungentlemanly conduct, trying to put the other player off. This is the Villa's manager. His gut feeling is that someone made a noise with their mouth.
Was that his quote, or did you come up with
that? No, genuinely, this is his quote.
I was going to say, Sue's not come up with that.
He said his team has been
far too
coy.
Funny.
He said his team has been coy about the breaking wind incident, but added, "My gut feeling is that someone made the noise with his mouth."
Oh, that's brilliant.
He's just gassing off there.
Stu's news, good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Right, Jim, you've got a little piece of news for us as well.
I'm proud to announce to everyone now that the Football Podcast are now official club sponsors of Riverside FC.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
The fans.
They play in the Rochester District League, Division 1, one below the Premier, and we're their club sponsors. Stu knows a little bit about Riverside, don't you, Stu?
Yeah, they've done a bit. I've been to a couple of cup finals for Riverside. Been very good evenings afterwards.
Stuart was there in body, but not really in mind at a couple of them, because he got absolutely hammered.
Really?
Drinking WKD Blue and Smirnoff Ice.
He got classy boy. Sunburnt
again.
Picking all the good stuff.
I could have been sunburnt. Me and Stephen Grett, that was, wasn't it? Yeah. We've had a few trips to that boy.
But anyway, so they're getting a new kit. We're getting it printed.
Yeah.
It's going to have the Football Podcast logo on the front.
Brilliant.
And we're going to key up to date. We'll introduce the team probably next week or the week
That's
after.
That's another team we're adopting for the show. Brilliant.
Exactly.
And we're going from the Champions League to Sunday League.
We've got Real Madrid.
That's almost our flipping strap line, isn't it? From the Champions League to Sunday League.
It's a Saturday League. Playing Saturdays. So
all right,
got
Saturday League.
Yeah. We'll get some stuff on the website. They're nicknamed the Penguins as well.
God, so
Steve Greco like
it. Turn up with packets of biscuits.
It's fine. It's fine. So yeah, no, it's going to be good. And first game is not this Saturday, but next.
Cool.
So I'll start letting you know how they're doing.
Go on the Penguins.
Go on the Penguins.
Go on the Penguins. Right, okay. Predictions time. This is a very short predictions thing this week, which is probably just as well because Jim's just snapped his pen. Because we've got an international week, we've got no Championship and no Premier League games, which means that those of us who are
so remember, it is National League Day.
It's non-league day, but we've got no Everton match, we've got no Arsenal match, and no QPR game. So the only game involving a podcast team is Bury versus Gillingham. So we'll just do a very quick one on this.
1-1.
1-1. That's actually exactly what I thought as well. 1-1 draw. I think we're doing okay. I don't think we'll get beat, but I don't think we'll win either.
Another point away from home.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Stay on nice, mate. Speaking of points away from home, it's a bit disappointing this, and we kind of saw this coming.
Yeah, cheers, Kay.
Everybody.
There's no sharp bite, is there? She sounded so professional as well. I listened to the podcast.
I was pretty confident it was going to be 3-1.
Yeah.
She convinced me.
She
bloody
convinced me.
Yeah. Well, we all went for a Real Madrid win, and the special one took his team down to Son Moix to take on Mallorca, and played pretty average, to be honest.
Mallorca looked nice though. It was very hot. It was 27 degrees, and they kicked off at 9 o'clock at night. I'm going there tonight. I'm in Mallorca from tomorrow.
Excellent. And so that one finishes a goalless draw, so no one actually earned any points to the prediction league. And although Kay Murray, who did our guest prediction last week, doesn't have to buy Stu a sharp bucket, which is probably just
there must
as well
be a forfeit.
Right, so we'll move on to our featured match of the week, which is England v Bulgaria, UEFA Euro qualifier. Jim, your score prediction?
3-1.
3-1.
3-1 to England. Don't think we'll keep a clean sheet.
Yeah,
it's going to be 3-1 England.
Mr. Pitney.
Boring, professional, 2-0 win, uninspired performance.
Cool.
Who's going to win?
England.
Okay.
Sorry, I took that for granted.
Yeah.
Typical England fan, taking it for granted. Dan.
No first choice centre backs. We are never going to keep a clean sheet. 2-1 victory.
Yeah.
Okay. Stu?
2-1, I think.
2-1.
Yeah.
Does Stuart always just pick whatever the person in front of him says?
I think he does.
I could have said 7-0, couldn't I?
Well, no, because Dan didn't say 7-0.
You could have done, but you'd have been wrong, wouldn't you?
It's a prediction. Go with what you think it's going to be.
I think it's going to be 2-1.
All right. There's no Berbatov, is there? He's retired.
No, I think it's going to be 3-0. I think as iffy as we might be at the back, I think we should have enough to deal with Bulgaria, so I'm going for 3-0. That match is live ITV1 Friday, starting at 7:30 p.m. the coverage. I think the match kicks off at 8.
Look out for me on Twitter.
Look out for Dan.
I'm probably going to Kane ITV.
Are you tweeting?
I won't be because I will be, but I'll be at
maybe what we'll do, maybe we'll put a live blog on site and you can watch me and Dan slagging off ITV and the England back four.
Well, I'll be listening to the Luther Vandross tribute act. So,
okay, is this what you always do on a Friday?
No, this is what I'm doing this Friday.
Okay, you're going to need to give us more information on this.
Well, in the Woodman in Ongar, they've got a Luther Vandross.
Ongar? Where the hell's that?
It's like in the middle of nowhere. It literally is in the middle of nowhere. Out in Essex,
And
they've got a Luther Vandross thing.
Are you paying money to get in?
Yeah.
Someone phoned EasyJet. I'm cancelling my flight tonight. I'm not going to go to Magaluf. I'm going to Ongar. And I'm going to bloody love it.
It's lovely. It's lovely. Get down there.
Okay. I'm dressed as Banana Man.
But anyway, I will probably still be tweeting anyway.
All right, excellent. And, okay, that brings us on to our guest predictor. And this is our guest predictor for this week. We're here with our guest podcast predictor this week. What's your name, sir?
Bob Gowers.
Bob Gowers. And the featured match of the weekend this weekend is England v Bulgaria. What are your thoughts about this game and what is your score prediction?
Well, my prediction would be 2-0 to England.
Right.
Basically, I think they just want to have something to prove a point, the England boys. So that would be my prediction. I'm not too sure how Bulgaria are playing.
Mm. You're confident in our patched up defence because we've got players out, haven't we?
It's debatable. but I think they win at home at Wembley, so
2-0 to England.
Yeah, 2-0 to England.
Great stuff, thanks very much.
Okay.
Right, we'll finish off with class and arse. This week's class, there's an honourable mention, has got to go to Joey Barton. Because he was very nearly my class of the week. I couldn't quite give it to him
because he is an arse.
Because there is, pretty much. But you've got to tip the hat to the guy. He did well.
He's growing up.
But my class of the week is Blackpool. I thought they were superb at the weekend, and they scored for me the best team goal of the season so far. Luke Varney's goal.
Yeah, very good. Wasn't
absolutely
it?
Yeah. Brilliant. Knocks it around from the back.
They go team.
And, you know, good finish. And big fan of Ian Holloway as well. So, well done, Blackpool. You're my class of the week. Arse of the week, Southampton Football Club. Sacking Alan Pardew. What on
4-0
earth?
Win
they
well.
Win 4-0, sack the manager. What on earth are they doing?
Go to the website.
It's all gone mad, and Dan has blogged on this, and that will be on the website. So, yeah, he shouldn't have been sacked. He had a good season with them last year. If it wasn't for the point deduction, they'd have been in the playoffs.
But there's obviously something going on behind the scenes.
There must be, yeah, there must be. I mean, it's weird.
He's arguing with the chief executive.
Right, okay, we'll just finish off the show now. So we had Southampton as our arse of the week. Finally, just want to say a massive, massive thank you to the guys at Audio Boo. We had some issues with the show last week, and they've come out, they've helped us out. We're now powered by Audio Boo. All our shows are going to be on there. They're hosting the show from now on. We've got a new look website, which looks a lot better than the old one. Check us out at www.footballpodcast.co.uk. You can email us at banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/footballpodcast. And you can get the show on iTunes. So just search for Football Podcast or check out the iTunes chart. That's pretty much it. We're going to have a transfer deadline show. We'll put out tomorrow with a quick recap on the big moves, assuming there are any. Asamoah Gyan, I think, has gone to Sunderland. That's the only one I know about at the moment.
Worst 12 million.
Me and Dan disagree on this. I think that's a good signing.
Tottenham have signed the keeper, haven't they?
They have. Steve Pettiposa, good goalkeeper. But yeah, we'll give you more on that on our next extra time show, the first extra time show of the season. That's us this week. I hope you enjoyed the show.
For crying.
See you next week.
Good night. Bye.